My name is Catherine Reed Day. I live in a house that was owned by one of the biggest gangsters in St. Paul. When I first moved here, I started looking for a house, and at the time there were very few houses available, and I fell in love with this one house in St. Paul. My then husband didn't seem to like it so much, but I couldn't get the house out of my mind. And I'm thinking now that there was some reason why that was true, that somehow when the story unfolded and I figured out who had lived there, there was some special pull between me and that house that I was supposed to come and find out the story about it. And it wasn't until about 5 years later when I started working at McAllister College, and this man from the class of 1942 asked me where I lived when he met me, and his name was Fred Coates. And when Fred met me, he was very gregarious, and he said, where do you live in St. Paul? And I said, I live on Sargent Avenue. And he said, well, where on Sargent Avenue? I said, 2168. And he got this look on his face, and he said, I grew up in the house next door. Do you know who lived there? And I said, no, I don't know. I mean, I know the people I bought the house from. But he said, it's Leon Gleckman, and he was the biggest bootlegger in St. Paul in the 1930s. But I started thinking, what secrets are buried here, basically? And I've not found the cache of money in the garage or the stash of liquor and so forth, the stuff from that time. And we know some people who their garage floor collapsed and they discovered a speakeasy underneath their garage that they didn't know was there. So there's always a discovery here or there. The discovery for me in my relationship to the house was that I was disturbed quite often by things happening in the house.
Paul McAbee, I'm the author of the Minnesota Historical Society book, John Dillinger Slept Here, A Crook's Tour of Crime and Corruption in St. Paul. Leon Gleckman, you could call him the Al Capone of St. Paul or the Godfather of St. Paul. He was the leading bootlegger for the city of St. Paul, much like Kid Can was in Minneapolis in the 1920s and 1930s. From all intents and purposes, Leon was a nice guy. I think he had two daughters, who I believe are still alive and live in town. He went to synagogue. He, like me, was Jewish. And yet, Leon was the guy who, if you wanted to become mayor of St. Paul, you went to Leon. If you wanted to open a restaurant in St. Paul and have liquor served and not have the inspectors close you down, you went to Leon. He was the fixer for anything you wanted done in St. Paul. That, of course, involved bribes. It involved, ultimately, murder. I don't think Leon himself killed anybody. But, of course, Leon didn't need to kill anybody. He had people who did that for a living. Leon himself was kidnapped, which is kind of ironic in some ways that the godfather of St. Paul would be kidnapped. The men who kidnapped him did not end well. One or two of them went to prison, and the rest were murdered by persons unknown.
For many years, I would wake up and I just thought it was my active imagination. I thought I'd wake up and say, you know, leave me alone. Don't bother me. And it was just a recurrent experience. I over and over and over again would wake up and say, leave me alone. I had my daughter, and she was less than a year old, and the former owners of the house came by on a hot summer afternoon, the people I'd purchased the house from. And when they had three daughters, and I think the oldest was 10 when she left. And they hadn't been back, and I think I must have owned the house 15 years by then. But they wanted to see the house, and I was nervous because my daughter and my husband were asleep upstairs, and the house was chaos because we had this new baby. And I started making jokes that there was some unexplained paint peeling. I had had the house painted inside, and things just would paint unexpectedly. And I'd heard about Leon by this time. And so the painter started making jokes about, well, maybe his ghost is doing this to your house. So I joked around with this family in the front entryway just saying, gosh, I guess maybe his ghost is here. And I was just laughing about it. And the daughter, who had been 10 when she left, said, oh, I would see his ghost in the stairwell. And there was silence, you know. And then the mother said, I've never told any of you this, but he used to bother me in our bedroom. I knew that she and I had chosen the same master bedroom, that was where I was waking up repeatedly saying, leave me alone. And we all just kind of looked at each other, and we all had goosebumps and were kind of startled. But in essence, it began to realize that probably his spirit was still reluctant to leave the house.
So Leon had a lot of power. Leon's headquarters for the syndicate in St. Paul was in the nicest hotel in the city, the Hotel St. Paul, third floor. And it was so open. Again, it's always amazing to us today. But in those days, it was so well known that Leon Gleckman held court, as it were, on the third floor of the Hotel St. Paul, that the FBI rented the room next to Leon's at the hotel and wiretapped him. And what they found in the wiretap is Leon had power as the godfather of St. Paul all the way up to the United States Senate. It was that powerful. Now, Leon eventually was convicted of a variety of minor offenses, tax-related, and he decided, apparently, he did not wish to go to prison. And in downtown St. Paul, he got into his car, drank a fair amount of liquor, probably to anesthetize himself, and drove into the side of a bridge. Most likely, it was suicide, and Leon just decided he didn't want to spend the rest of his life in prison and took his own life.
I don't know when he actually died, but the accident may have been... I mean, things were, I'm sure, collapsing around him, and he was beginning to see there was no way out, and he probably did not want to spend a minute in prison. He was probably really afraid of what was going to happen to him. Things started to collapse upon him, I'm sure. You know, when people think about... his spirit, was he afraid, having done a lot of bad things in his life? Was he unresolved about his journey, if you will, to resolve what he had done badly and what he hadn't resolved in his life? And who knows? I just realized, well, I guess maybe there's a spirit living here, and it's Leon. It is Leon Gleckman. And so I ended up asking him to leave, because I didn't want him to bother my baby. And whether he chose to leave or not, nothing has ever bothered me since, after asking him to move on down the road and leave the house and leave it alone. You've got to pick up every stitch.
Funding for Miniculture on KFAI comes from listeners like you and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.